week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tee off with professional golf. Tournaments recently resumed here in the United States, but there were no fans allowed because of the continuing coronavirus crisis. In Southern Africa, professional golf tournaments are still on hold. Despite the COVID-19 restrictions, players are still finding ways to show off their skills for fun, honor, charity, and even money. Marisa de Klerk reports from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Welcome to Virtual Sunshine Tour 8. This is, of course, our first ever tournament.
Adapting to the COVID-19 pandemic, professional golfers on Southern Africa's Sunshine Tour like Heinrich Breuners have been moving their game onto the cyber greens of the newly created Virtual Sunshine Tour. He explains via Zoom.
Being a professional golfer, the extra exposure has been awesome.
Breuners, the runner-up in the VST's first tournament for prize money, says lockdown boredom was his motivation for agreeing to be a player in the very first virtual match.
For the first 3 weeks, I was a motivational speaker, a gym instructor, everything possible. And now I've been a professional online gamer.
The Virtual Sunshine Tour aims to keep professional players competitive while making Southern African golf exciting and relevant, with real pro players playing virtual golf.
Cass, you know you owe me another 100 rand, eh?
Follett Smith carried that one-shot lead to the ninth hole, but Hall was still up for a fight.
You literally one shot ahead, one.
Reaching at least 600,000 people globally, the virtual tour has taken professional golf in South Africa to a new level in the post-COVID-19 lockdown world, explains Sunshine Tour Deputy Director Thomas Abt via Zoom.
It just makes golf relevant in spaces where people may not have been interested in golf. We know that we're appealing to a completely different market. When our golf season starts normally, we want those followers to convert into coming onto the golf course. So this is going to be an extension of what we've got, but also a promotional platform.
The hope is that this online initiative by the Sunshine Tour and another by the European Tour will help speed up golf's ventures into digital media with increased fan interaction, says international freelance golf writer and sports journalist Ken Borland.
It's the younger generation of golfers who are more open to this idea. I think, especially in TV coverage, we're already seeing it. Brandon Stone, a very forward-thinking young South African golfer, he was saying maybe we should relook at tournaments as well.
As South African golf courses are slowly reopening while observing strict anti-corona measures, the VST seems as if it's here to stay, and it's hinting at a new look. So far, only one real competition, the European Tour's Nedbank Golf Challenge, has been rescheduled for December. Marisa de Klerk for VOA News, Johannesburg.
Sporting greetings. This is Bronson. We are the head coach of the Nigerian National Men's Rugby Team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Nigerian striker Victor Osimhen, who won the Prix Mark Vivian Foe Award. The prize is named after the late Cameroonian football player Mark Vivian Foe, who died during an international match in 2003. And it's given to the best African player in France's Ligue 1. The 21-year-old Osimhen plays for the French club Lille, and he beat another Nigerian, Moses Simon of Nantes, in winning the award. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the founder of Mies Palace Football Academy in Jos, Nigeria, Emmanuel Adukwu.
Victor Osimhen is one of the finest young strikers Nigeria has on parade now. A typical example to all upcoming young people is an honor well deserved. He's waited his time, taken his time, and grabbed his opportunity with both hands. I'm extremely, extremely happy for him. He's a good role model for all the upcoming kids we have in the country. And he shows clearly that academic football can indeed work because he came from one of the foremost academies in Nigeria.
Do you think Nigeria has other youths like Victor Osimhen capable of winning similar awards in other European leagues?
Nigeria has other talents scattered all over the country. We have no shortage of talents. What we have is a shortage of the right channels which we need to bring them through, to polish them and to make them world-class. Unquestionable talents abound in Nigeria. You can find 1,000 Victor Siemens. We can find 1,000 Sergio Ramos is here. We can find 1,000 Van Dijk. We only need to have the right modalities in place to be able to discover and to polish this talent.
What's your assessment of youth football in Nigeria and the grooming of future stars in the country?
Honestly, at this point, we're just beginning to do the right thing. So many new academies are coming up who are aspiring to have the right equipment, have the right modalities, and train the kids in the right environment. Before now, we didn't do much. But right now, at the moment, in the last, say, 2-3 years, Nigeria is fast on the track to getting it right with youth development. And who knows, if we continue at this pace and with this level of traction, we just might be unearthing even better gems than Victor Osimhen.
That's Emmanuel Adukwu, the founder of Mies Palace Football Academy. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Jos, Nigeria.
Hello, Africa. I'm Emmanuel Adukwu from Mies Palace Academy, Jos. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Lori. That's my VOA colleague, Lori London. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. A top Kenyan distance runner is on the mend after a scary collision during a recent training run. Douglas Mpuga has that story and more athletic news.
Three-time world half marathon champion Geoffrey Kamworor sustained injuries after he was struck by a motorcycle while on a training run on Thursday morning in Eldoret, Kenya. According to a report in the Daily Nation newspaper, the 27-year-old Kamworor sustained injuries on his head and ankle. The motorist who struck him stopped to help the injured runner. He was planning to defend his New York City Marathon title in November until organizers announced the race cancellation on Wednesday. Meanwhile, organizers of the Sanlam Cape Town Marathon are about to take virtual racing to another level. While the race, its associated half marathon and 10 kilometers and 5 kilometers peace runs have been canceled, they will still be staged virtually on October 18th. And they will still give the runners the look and feel of the South African city, no matter where they plan to run it. A race app will measure the route the runners are running and match it with scenes and sounds from the actual course. When they reach the race 5-kilometer mark, runners will hear crashing waves and the sell pictures of ice cream sellers, which figure prominently on the ocean side. At the 14.1-kilometer point, the site of the town hall where Nelson Mandela first addressed the nation upon release from prison, runners will listen to the Nobel Peace Prize winner's speech. The app includes plenty of social media integration so runners can share their experience, and we also have a real-time leaderboard. The virtual Cape Town Marathon follows the cancellation of the Berlin Marathon. The New York City Marathon was also cancelled earlier due to coronavirus-related health and safety concerns for runners, spectators, volunteers, staff, and the many partners and communities that support the event.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mijosedovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America. Thanks, Steve. That's my Voice of America colleague, Steve Miller. VOA's Jim Stevenson joins us now with a package of sports news. And Jim begins in Spain, where bullfighting fans have been demonstrating.
More than 2,000 bullfighting supporters protested outside a Madrid building to demand a return of the controversial tradition. Professional bullfights had been canceled in Spain since a virus-related state of emergency was announced March 13th. David Navalon fights bulls in the ring. Let's see what happens if the bullfight organizers take a step forward and give us bulls. But at the moment, we professionals are suffering a really bad blow. We have not received any assistance from the state. In fact, they have rejected our demand. This coronavirus has really given us problems. Supporters demanded the Spanish government offer financial support to what they claim is part of Spain's cultural and artistic heritage. Maria Angeles Garajal was one of the bullfighting fans protesting. Even if it is only with 1,000 people at the bullfight, we must make the effort. Bullfights cannot disappear because it would be a disaster for the economy, fans, culture, and for everything. Some estimates say the lockdown has cost the bullfighting industry $5.5 million. Stand up! Stand up! Sports fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
Set.
Tokyo's governor, Yuriko Koike, hopes the Tokyo 2020 Games will become a model on how to hold Olympics and Paralympics. The way the Olympics should be, IOC President Thomas Bach has said, is to be sustainable. I would like to make such an event that can become a model of how to make a new Olympic and Paralympic Games. The world's biggest sporting event was postponed this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic and has been rescheduled to take place next year from July 23rd through August 8th. Koike told the Associated Press that three pillars were needed to hold the games. The first point is to secure safety and security when holding the Tokyo Games. Secondly is how to reduce the budget and cost. We must gain the understanding of the residents of Tokyo and citizens. Thirdly, we have to think about how to simplify. Tokyo is in discussions with organizers to scale down the Olympic and Paralympic events, but organizers have not yet elaborated on the scale of cost reductions nor any details on what items are included as potential candidates. There are different opinions on how to simplify the games, so by gradually integrating them together, the 2020 Games, although it will be held held in 2021 can be realized. The Tokyo governor also said these and future Olympics will depend on the state of world health and, for now, the development of a coronavirus vaccine. Japan's heads of Nippon Professional Baseball and football's J-League say they are preparing to welcome fans back to stadiums gradually beginning July 10th. NPB Commissioner Atsushi Saito said the league will allow fans into their stadiums in the absence of an unforeseen setback. Government officials have advised us that we can announce that we'll be letting fans into stadiums from July 10th. Players and teams need to prepare for that, so we would like to keep announcing that we will be letting fans into stadiums July 10th, unless something unexpected happens. After a three-month delay caused by the coronavirus pandemic, the world's second most famous baseball league opened its season last week. But all games are taking place behind closed doors for now. Following a roughly four-month stoppage, J-League will resume First Division play on July 4th without fans in the stadiums. The Game Room opens with news stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. An update now on Jeffrey Kamwar, the three-time World Half Marathon champion from Kenya, who Douglas Mpuga reported on earlier in the show. The 27-year-old Kamwar issued a statement through his management group. Jeffrey says, and I quote, "Last week I was hit by a motorbike during my training. I have received a great number of well wishes. I'm thankful to you all. I'm doing well and looking forward to picking up my training towards my upcoming goals. I feel a bright future ahead." Meanwhile, a refugee from Burundi says she also feels a bright future ahead, thanks to discovering a passion for running in Hong Kong. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. 38-year-old Burundian refugee who goes by the name Rose has lived in Hong Kong for nearly 5 years and has faced significant challenges raising her son in a new country. But with the help of the charity organization Run, Rose's life has blossomed with a newfound interest in running that she tells VOA she wishes she discovered years ago.
Running is my passion. I just regret why I didn't do it before when I was in my home country.
Rose says she literally ran from her home country, Burundi, in search of peace. After first living in a refugee camp in neighboring Rwanda, she and her son fled to Uganda before finally settling down in Hong Kong, a place she says she had only seen in movies.
When I first came in Hong Kong, life was really difficult. Not only about money, and I didn't know anyone. I was new in this big country, no one to help me. I had a small baby. Life was really difficult.
Hong Kong features beautiful trails that are ideal for hiking and running, and it was there through the Run organization that she found the peace she'd been searching for and the support she needed to reclaim herself.
After I know the Run organization, everything I can say was really good. They not only helping with the rent, but with everything. They try the best that they can.
Virginie Golfels is the director of Run, and she says her organization does more than just encourage running. It offers hope, especially to asylum seekers who have made a life in Hong Kong.
Run stands for more than running. Run stands for rebuild the lives of vulnerable refugees, unite them as a community and with the local Hong Kong community, and nurture them into a more hopeful future through life skills and education. The situation of refugees and asylum seekers is very difficult in Hong Kong. When you're alone with a child, this makes things extremely complicated. It means that you need to rely on NGOs to top up your rent to be able to live in a safe place. NGOs play a very big role for refugees and asylum seekers in Hong Kong, especially when they suffer from trauma. Hong Kong does not offer any rehabilitation service or adult education. Refugees are very resilient and strong people, and they love to challenge themselves like any other person.
Asylum seekers and refugees involved with the organization hike and run to rebuild their mental and physical strength and rediscover a sense of community. And Run volunteer Allie Lohr says she saw the change in Rose within a short period of time.
For 6 months, I was volunteering regularly, and I met Rose, and through 6 months, I could see her really progress as a runner, and you can really see her strength build and her confidence build even over that short period of 6 months. What's also great about the running community is that it really is a community. I think people think it's a very solitary sport, but it really isn't. When you go on these trail races, you see people that are just as crazy as you, just are like-minded, who are willing to go out on the trails for hours and hours on end.
Rose has also established a community off the trail as a qualified caregiver for the elderly in Hong Kong. She's also taken part in a parenting class to learn how to be a better mother for her son. Virginie Golfel says Rose has made tremendous strides in running and in life as well.
I think her longest distance is 35K, but she really smashed it. She's now a very confident, independent, and self-reliant mother who just simply cannot wait to restart her life.
And Rose says her love for running and her new life in Hong Kong have given her hope for a better future.
The time I was thinking there is no hope or there is no peaceful in my life, it was only sitting and crying all the time. I could not feel happy. I could not give a good example to my son, because I was like in deep darkness. I could not look forward because I was thinking I don't have tomorrow. But now everything has changed.
Rose now calls Hong Kong her home and says she will never stop running. And that is all from me. Sunny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Michael Phelps, the most decorated Olympian of all time. Phelps was born June 30th, 1985 in Baltimore, Maryland. Nicknamed the Flying Fish, Michael Phelps is often considered the greatest swimmer of all time. He won 28 Olympic medals, including 23 gold. Also celebrating a birthday on this Tuesday is former world heavyweight boxing champion Mike Tyson, who is 54 years old. Iron Mike Tyson's last pro fight was 15 years ago. A loss right here in Washington to journeyman Kevin McBride. Tyson has had some workout videos go viral recently, and there's been talk that he might do some charity boxing events. Happy birthday to Mike Tyson, and happy birthday to Michael Phelps. And that wraps up the June 30th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.